How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. And what a part of your daily routine we get to be. The Celtics win game two with just an unbelievable performance. I can't even find the words, even though I'm supposed to be the guy that has words to properly explain what we just saw, but I don't. All I know is the Celtics won 129-119, and Isaiah Thomas was just out of his goddamn mind. 53 points on his, what would have been his late sister's 23rd birthday. After knocking three teeth out and getting them put back in and smashing his face on the floor. I mean, how much more needs to happen to Isaiah Thomas for him to be stopped? I don't want to find out. I'm John Corrales. Sam Packard is here with me to talk about a postgame. We are brought to you today by the good folks at ZipRecruiter. They know where to find your best candidates if you're a hiring manager, and we've got a special deal for ZipRecruiter coming up in a few minutes, but let's just zip right into this game, Sam. So how are you feeling after all of this?
I'm kind of exhausted at this point. It's been a roller coaster of emotions, and it's just, that game was pretty much from 6 minutes into the second quarter was just high intensity for throughout. And then for Isaiah to put on the performance he did, it's just mind boggling. Like, you know, like, how many times have we had this game recap podcast and just like, I've just sat there in awe and just had not had the words to describe what he's been able to do. You think at this point we would no longer be surprised or no longer be kind of just awed by the things he's able to do, but he comes back and scores 29 points with all those crazy circumstances that you mentioned before. And this is in the playoffs. This is when we thought Isaiah Thomas can't succeed in the playoffs because they're just going to throw as many men at him as possible, and they're going to trap him with bigs, and he's not going to be able to deal with it. But no, he's shown time and time again that he's going to be able to deal with whatever you throw at him. And tonight, it was a wild game. In some regards, one that the Celtics really didn't have any business being in. If it wasn't for him hitting a three and Terry Rozier hitting a three, they really closed a lead late in the fourth quarter. But they showed great poise, great composure to get themselves back into this game. And then in overtime, it was just the Isaiah show. But it was just a wild basketball game all around, and what more? I don't know what else we can say about Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, let's kind of go over the game flow just a little bit, just so we can get the whole proper perspective. First of all, another abhorrent first quarter out of the Boston Celtics. 42 points. Somehow, this first quarter ended up worse than the first quarter where the Celtics were down 16-0 after 8 minutes. So, John Wall was out of his mind. Out of his mind early. But it's almost like the rope-a-dope where he punched himself out. He did not look like he had any legs later on in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter. And in overtime, he just had nothing. He had nothing. All of his shots were short. This is when you know the guy is tired. He hit a couple of, he took a couple of shots and they fell short. And then the next time he tried to overcompensate and he fired it way long. So he had no flow at all anymore. His legs were done. He was toast. He had played 47 minutes to that point and just had nothing left. But early on, he was awesome. And then the body started hitting the floor. Let's see. Markieff. Or maybe Marcus Morris, but one of the Morris twins was out there, depending on your level of conspiracy theory believing, tossed Al Horford into the stands. Otto Porter broke his nose, or looked like he broke his nose.
Also looked like he broke his arm at one point.
Yeah.
That weird Jay Crowder foul call.
Yep. Isaiah Thomas bounced his face off the floor, and it looked like he was going to lose more teeth. Who else? Somebody else?
Kelly Oubre got a foul.
It was Oubre
with his front with his face, and just he started bleeding too.
Yep. I mean, just bodies everywhere. We had a super physical, crazy. These teams hate each other. Playoff game, and then the fourth quarter just turned into Isaiah time, and Isaiah. This just becomes the what can you say part of the podcast, because I said going into the fourth quarter, if this was a double-digit game, the Celtics were going to win, because I felt like, first of all, Bradley Beal sucked tonight. Secondly, I felt like Wall was playing so much, I thought that he might lose his legs at some point, and he did. And then I knew that Isaiah had a run in him. And in the fourth quarter, he scored 20 points on 7 of 12 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3, 3 of 3 from the line. Holy shit. You know, in the OT, he had nine points. Just an unbelievable performance. So that was the flow of the game. John Wall early, a bunch of fighting in the middle, and Isaiah Thomas late. And really, when you look at the way that everything went, they gave up 42 points in the first. They won the second quarter by 10. The third quarter was basically a draw, and they did just enough in the fourth quarter, and they had much more energy in the overtime, and that's basically how the game went.
Yeah, I want to go back to that first quarter. They lost by, we're down 13 heading after it. They gave up 42 points. But the crazy thing is they shot 69% from the field in that quarter. It was really not a question of the Celtics playing, I guess, bad offense. It was just that one, John Wall was amazing. The Celtics couldn't get any stops whatsoever. And then they had 9 turnovers in the quarter as well. And that's something we saw them really kind of calm down in the second quarter. And I think the fact that they won the second quarter by 10 also had to do with fatigue. It felt like it's fatigue and depth. It feels like the Wizards starters tonight really did a great job against the Celtics and were basically able to score at will for the first kind of 44 minutes of the game. But really the points in time when the Wizards bench were on the floor, players like Oubre, Bogdanovich, Jason Smith, just anytime they had to basically go away from that starting lineup, it really felt like the Celtics were able to get back in the game with their bench, with the kind of units led by Marcus Smart, Rozier, and Kelly Olynyk. And I felt like that depth and fatigue was an issue for them in the second quarter. It was definitely an issue for them late, like you said, with Wall showing up short on his shot tonight, and then especially in the overtime. But John Wall was damn good for the majority of this game. He was impressive. 35 points, I think, feel like in the first three quarters. But I thought the biggest issue for the Wizards, outside of Markieff Morris / Marcus Morris, they didn't really have anyone else show up tonight on the offensive end. I mean, Bradley Beal was terrible. Bradley Beal had a really bad game, and he had a great chance to win it actually at the buzzer at the end of the fourth quarter. Yep. And he was short by about 3 feet. It was just awful. He was 1 for 3 tonight from deep. I just thought it was if they were going to rely on John Wall to kind of give that effort the entire game, he's going to burn out just because of how much time he has to kind of just to put into creating the offense. But they didn't have a great game at anyone outside of Marcus Morris. And I think that when the Celtics were able to kind of cut down on those turnovers and get to their offense, they were able to get back in the game and just keep scoring with the Wizards, which is something that's going to be necessary for the rest of the series because neither team's playing a lot of defense at this point.
No. The Wizards bench is basically unplayable. They're just horrible and useless. The Wizards scored 119 points, which is defensively, that's a lot of points to be giving up. But of the 119 points, 22 came from the bench. That's it. So 40 came from Wall. Beal somehow managed to scrape out 14 points out of that shit show that he put out there. And then you got Gortat with 14, Morris with 16, 13 from Porter, and that's it. And really, Oubre scoring 12 off the bench, 2 of 4 from 3, that's never going to happen again. He is just – those threes that he took, you want to give those up. But he hit a couple of them. That's fine, I guess. That bench is terrible. I'm sure the Wizards and Scottie Brooks would love to go to something like ZipRecruiter.com between games 2 and 3 so they can find themselves some bench help. Sorry, you're not going to do it because that's about the only thing you can't do on ZipRecruiter.com. But the rest of you out there who are hiring, and I feel your pain because I used to be a hiring manager once upon a time in a former life. I hated it, but I can tell you that ZipRecruiter would have made my life a lot easier. Because there's a million job sites out there, and it's even worse now with social media and all the different places you need to post a job. You don't know where you're going to find a good candidate because there's so many options. But with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100+ job sites, including those social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with one click. And you don't have to be confined to a certain city. You can go to any city or any industry nationwide, post it once and watch qualified candidates roll in, and you don't have to worry about calls to your office or emails or any of that junk. You can just quickly screen it right there on ZipRecruiter, rate them, and hire the right person fast. I'm telling you, this streamlines the entire process. I don't know what took so long for people to come up with the idea, but ZipRecruiter figured it out. They are now being used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized business. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/LOCeltics. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOCeltics. You get to try it for free. One more time. ZipRecruiter.com/LOCeltics. I'm telling you, I wish I had something like this. If you're a hiring manager for a smaller or medium-sized business, this will help you. And again, the Wizards, I'm sure, would be happy to find some bench help. They made moves at the trade deadline, and this crappy bench that they have, this is the improved version. This is them adding players at the deadline. So if the Celtics can avoid in game 3 going down 14 or 13 points after a quarter, they can get into that bench and they can actually maybe go into halftime with a good lead. So it seems like the trend for the Celtics is go down big, get your ass kicked by their starters, make a big comeback against their bench, let their starters kind of punch themselves out, and make a late kick to win the game. I would love to figure out a starting lineup. So let's get into that, because they started Amir Johnson tonight, Sam. I don't think Amir Johnson sees the court again in this series. He's just not, for some reason, he was good for most of the year, and he had a very big key stretch at the end of the season, but it's getting obvious that something is not right here, and the Celtics have to come up with a different plan. So I don't know if it's Marcus Smart. I don't know if it's Jaylen Brown, who's suddenly getting minutes and playing well. I don't know if it's Terry Rozier who's coming in and playing well, but somebody other than Amir Johnson is going to get these minutes. He started and played 4.5 minutes. That was it. Done.
Yeah, no, he's not good, and I was actually kind of surprised that Brad went back to him, considering I don't think he had a lot of success against Markieff Morris in game one. And before the game, it was weird. It was like kind of Amir starting, like, only contingent on Markieff Morris like starting and being active. But he's definitely not the answer. It feels like Marcus Smart would be the kind of the natural guy, given that he played 39 minutes tonight, and he's the person who started the second half in place of Amir Johnson. I think Brad is kind of settled into a nice rotation in terms of bringing the bench in, and I think he likes the lineups. So I think it could be a situation where you see maybe you start Amir Johnson. I don't know. The problem is that you just can't get out to these starts. I don't want to, like, be super pessimistic about but you can't give up close to 40 points in the first quarter in consecutive games and expect to win. It's kind of amazing the Celtics were able to do that. I don't really know what the answer is on in the starting lineup. I think Jaylen Brown, Kelly Olynyk, or Marcus Smart would all just provide better options. I think Jaylen Brown right now or Kelly Olynyk make the most sense to me if you're trying to keep the kind of the ball handling alive for that second unit. One thing I wanted to talk about in terms of their first quarter is Isaiah Thomas did not have a great defensive first quarter. It felt like the first half. It's really difficult to criticize him after kind of the performance he put in, but John Wall was really and the Wizards were really attacking and trying to get him in the pick and roll, and it was one of the major reasons that I thought the Celtics had a tough time stopping the Wizards was just they didn't have a lot of answers for that. And I'm just kind of confused about why they consistently had Isaiah Thomas guard John Wall to begin the game, where it feels like everyone in the series knows that's not really a sustainable answer. You eventually get to kind of force Isaiah onto Otto Porter and make Otto Porter beat you. So it's kind of frustrating to see them repeatedly go and have Isaiah guard Wall for really what felt like the first half, just because it just doesn't feel like the smart solution. So I don't know if you start Bradley on Wall immediately or you're trying to rest Bradley, but I think that's one of the major keys to not giving up 40 in a first quarter.
Yeah, they do have to figure something out. It didn't help that Isaiah had two early fouls because that changed a lot of things. And as Brad Stevens said after the game, they really struggled after that to figure out how to guard Wall. With Isaiah with two fouls, what they did is they posted up Wall a bunch, and then they started to double Wall, and then he started making crazy passes and getting a bunch of assists, and that just makes everybody else better. So that would have helped. I don't know what the answer is when you come up against their starting lineup with Morris in the lineup, because Porter, it seems to me that you try to run, you hide Isaiah on Porter somehow. If you can, I think if you start Marcus Smart, and then if Morris, I assume Morris is going to be good to go. I think he came out hot and maybe hobbled a little bit later on, but there's no reason why you can't start Crowder on Morris and Horford on Gortat, and then have Isaiah try to hide on Porter as much as he can, and you have Smart and Bradley on Beal and Wall, and just go with it that way. There's just no, I think that's your best option. At this point, it's your best option. Maybe you can do Jaylen Brown in there and have Brown on Porter, but I don't like that. I think what Brad Stevens likes about Brown is him coming up against their bench whenever somebody like Bogdanovich is in. I think that might be a little bit more of the plan for him now that he's getting a little bit more confidence.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you there, but Brad did say after the game that he really liked what Jaylen Brown did defending Bradley Beal tonight. So maybe that's
maybe that could be the way to go. Very well could be.
Him and still having Crowder go to the four, but having and still trying to hide IT on Porter. But there's no great solution. And I think the Markieff Morris injury is going to be definitely interesting to watch, because I thought he was pretty effective tonight. But after the game, John Wall came out and said that his ankle was purple. He only played, I think, around 20 minutes. Or 27.
Minutes,
kind of got the help of the overtime. But the minutes in which Kelly Oubre were in for him were bad for the Wizards. Oubre was a minus 24. And I think if Morris is either going to be not play or be hurt at all or limited by his injury, then that's going to be definitely problematic for the Wizards, because it just means they're getting to their bench a lot sooner.
Yeah, I think if he – I don't know what they did. I'm guessing just a bunch of painkillers or some kind of shot or something to get him out there and make it numb for the beginning of the game. They can keep doing that. That's not the best idea. I'll be happy to perpetuate the ridiculous conspiracy theory that was actually Marcus Morris out there. That to me is the most fun conspiracy theory out there. I actually hope it's true, but that would be amazing. As an aside, and I really don't want to judge. They have the exact same tattoos. Like, they have gotten, they're already identical twins, and they have, like, they're completely identical. They wanted to get ink. They talked about their ink. It's completely the same. There's not one distinguishing mark on them that you could look at and say, oh yeah, no, that's clearly Marcus. I don't understand it. I think it's a little off, but hey, whatever works for them. It's just odd. It's odd to have two guys with matching tattoos like that. And somebody on Twitter said,
man.
Somebody on Twitter said they have like a joint checking account. They've got like whatever. So I don't know. I don't know if that's all true. Yeah. Like, they just do everything together. So I would not be shocked if that was Marcus Morris out there, but, no, it was Markieff, but God, I really wish that was true. So, but back to reality, if Morris is 100%, and like he was early, I think you can see why that hurts the Celtics, and at the very least, it gets them, the Wizards, to not go deep into their bench at all. But now, here's the difference in something that I don't know if anybody's going to be talking about. You got to get on a plane, and your joints tend to swell up when you get on a plane, even for a short ride to Washington. So that ride to Washington's not going to be comfortable for Markieff Morris. He's got to do that, get there, and get his treatment and try to get himself right. And that makes it a lot harder. He's still going to be limited. I don't think that – and I think, look, you look at what the starters were doing, and he still only got 27 minutes. I know he fouled out, but that was way late. I think that's a bad sign for Washington. But regardless, the Celtics definitely have to make an adjustment. And I don't think the adjustment's in the front court. I think their adjustment has to be in the back court. And I'm happy to go with Jaylen Brown starting against Bradley Beal. And I don't know what you think about this, Sam, but I think Bradley Beal, after a game like this, he might come out pressing a little bit in game three, trying to find his shot. I'm wondering if you put Jaylen on there, it almost might be a little bit of bait, kind of to tempt Bradley Beal into kind of going for his own. He's got a rookie on him. Bradley Beal's only 23. I know it feels like he's been in the league for a long time. He's only 23 years old. So still some growing up to do. 23-year-olds tend to get emotional. If he sees a rookie on him after having a bad game and probably getting killed on podcasts, on blogs, and the radio, TV over the course of the next couple of days, that might be like kind of like a sneaky subliminal mind game that Stevens plays on him. If Jaylen Brown can come out there and defend him well, that would be amazing. I think that could work out in our favor.
It would be amazing, but it's kind of feels like a high risk, high reward strategy, because Bradley Beal also has the ability to, if he gets going from three, really be dangerous. And if if they can add like a dynamic scoring duo and have Wall and Beal be able to kind of both be scoring at the same time, it's not something the Celtics should be looking forward to. I think Jalen can do a good job, but it's really going to be a kind of a committee at this point. And I can't believe we've gone 23 minutes in this podcast and not talked about playoff Tito Rozier.
No, we're getting there.
One of the people who was on Beal for a long period tonight, and he's just been doing an amazing job. Talk about some clutch threes in this game. But it's not just the clutch threes. It's just his general energy on defense, his defensive rebounding, which we all know he can jump just out of the gym. But it's amazing to me right now that Terry Rozier is your playoff leader in plus minus in the second round. That's absolutely absurd.
That is just hilarious. It really is hilarious that Terry Rozier, who I mean, I'll have to call up his game logs from the end of the regular season. He sat a lot at the end of the regular season. And now here we are, just out of necessity, he has suddenly been thrust into the spotlight and he's performing. He is chomping glass. He is out there getting it done. Let's look. At the end of the regular season, the Milwaukee game, 3 minutes, that was garbage. 11 minutes against Brooklyn, two DNPs, and then just scattered minutes. You know, against the Knicks, he played some, but that was a big win. He was kind of being phased out for the most part at the end of the regular season. And now here we are. Again, he didn't play in game one of the Bulls series, and then slowly he got worked in, plus 11 in game two, plus 19 in game three. It just out there tonight, he was what, plus 25? Plus 25. You got to be kidding me. Yeah, he's just doing work. And what can you say? 12.6 rebounds, 4 assists. In some ways, I don't want to say it's I don't want to make the comparison, but Rozier coming out there and doing what he does, doing what he's doing, that's almost as amazing as anything else that's happening in this series, aside from Isaiah Thomas doing what he, like, who's having a more, like, Al Horford is having a generally amazing playoffs minus game two of the Bulls series, but he's expected to kind of do that stuff. Rozier coming off the bench the way he was playing, although he did have the patented Terry Rozier missed crazy layup, which such a bad time, but he's been largely really good.
And it's especially funny just given kind of the narrative that he's been a part of, especially around the trade deadline, saying, oh, Danny Ainge wouldn't trade for both Jimmy Butler and Paul George because he really wanted to keep on Terry Rozier, and all the Twitter punchlines that came after that, especially in the first two series of the or first two games of the Bulls series when those kind of got rehashed. I'm not saying that, like, Danny Ainge would be justified in not making those deals, but for one, we all know those that's kind of absurd and ridiculous, but just it's been a nice kind of a twist of fate that Rozier has kind of come in. And the crazy thing is that he's playing in all these three guard and sometimes four guard lineups for the Celtics right now. And it just, if you go back to earlier in the season, we were talking about how those three guard lineups were atrocious and really couldn't play defense. And it feels like he's making a huge impact, especially on the defensive end, just his athleticism, his physicality. Guarding both Wall sometimes and Bradley Beal, he's just doing amazing things. But I don't know that when I looked on the court and saw that four guard lineup, I was just kind of amazed and kind of stupefied. Even I would say stupefied by the fact that those four guys under 6'3" basically, and then Al Horford were actually primary reasons for this comeback. It's absurd.
Absurd is a good word for it. It, you know, kind of one of those crazy like a Fox moments. It just, whatever works at this point in the season. And again, when you look at the lineups that the Wizards are throwing out there, you combat some of that stuff with that speed and ball handling and defensive ability. I mean, those guys are all playing pretty well. Jaylen Brown faced John Wall in a clutch moment, and Wall called for a pick to switch onto Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown like clapped his hands and was like, and stayed in front of Wall and forced him to give it up. I mean, that was a huge, huge moment that gets completely lost in all of this, but it just shows that these guys are not afraid of the playoff moment. They really are figuring this out. Brown is figuring it out. Rozier is figuring it out. They've all started to gel at the same time. We haven't mentioned playoff Kelly Olynyk, who came out, was a plus 11 in 21 minutes. Didn't miss a shot. 3 of 3, 2 of 2 from three. Just kind of huge little spurt off the bench. Just great stuff. We did it all without Jay Crowder going like he did at the beginning. Although he gave you 14 points, it's not too bad. But Bradley missed some time with that hip pointer. Just everybody's contributing when something else happens. So I like how the team is coming together and sticking together and not giving up when they face some adversity, being down after the first quarter. They know that Wizards bench is a problem, and they've feasted on it and they've taken advantage of it. And now they're going into Washington with a 2-0 lead. I will say, as excited as I am, they, in the end, have only held serve. They had home court. They won two games at home. And in both games, they looked terrible for a stretch. In both games, they got weird, crazy contributions from players you wouldn't expect. And then it took 29 points from Isaiah Thomas over the course of the fourth quarter in overtime to put this team away. So the Wizards are a different team at home. John Wall, in the fourth quarter, after playing 47 minutes in Washington, may find the strength to knock down some of those shots versus some of the shots that they missed. Bradley Beal is a really, really good player. He may not be 14 points, 4 of 15 shooting bad in game 3. And if he gets going, then that big lead that they start with could just be a sustained big lead, or they could be the team that pulls it off down the stretch. So it's imperative for the Celtics to not sit there and think, oh, here we go. You know, we've just won 6 games in a row, which is, by the way, tied for the second most wins in a row in the playoffs. They can't go in there in game 3 and say, we got this, because Washington can easily squash that and look really, really good and make the Celtics look really bad in game 3. So these adjustments that we've been talking about in the starting lineup and how they use their reserves, really, really important to go out there, because if you win game 3, obviously you go up 3-0. That's a huge difference. That essentially, effectively ends the series.
Yeah, no, it's there's no reason to. I mean, yes, they're coming up 2-0, but it's, the Wizards are completely, like you mentioned, they're a much better home team, and there's the old cliche, the playoff series don't really start until the home team loses, which was completely turned on its head last round, but I think it still kind of applies. But I just want to bring it back to something you mentioned very much earlier in the podcast, is that with this Celtics team, you never really think they're out of the game. They were able to come back from that 16-0 deficit in game 1, down 13 after the first one tonight. And it just feels like they have the poise and the kind of wherewithal to make the right plays, kind of get their heads in the game and not really get too excited or kind of disjointed At least that's what we've seen in the last six games. They had some really bad moments in game two where they're trying to kind of get everything back on the kind of the one home run swing. But we've seen them since then. And really all this season, they've been able to kind of, when the game's on the line, do a really good job of pulling it out. We talk about them being kind of blowout adverse. But they've been a good, they've done good jobs at kind of holding on to the lead after giving it up. And it feels like they're just they play very well in close games and always manage to get themselves in close games, whether they're starting ahead or coming from behind. It feels like they're a reliable team and a consistent team, especially in close games late. So it feels like the type of thing where even if Washington has an amazing performance at home, the Celtics are likely to be in the game, and I like their chances to kind of to come back and make it a game. And if Isaiah is able to do the things he did tonight again or another time in the series, or in kind of like in game one, the Celtics are able to shoot from distance the way they did and hit 19 threes in that game, they really have a chance to win game three and basically take control of this series.
That would be amazing. I mean, for the Celtics, after two games and Tomasi writing that Brad Stevens is on the hot seat for, I'd say go look at it. It's on EEI.com. Don't bother clicking on it. After two losses to the Bulls, you know, you get crap like that out there on the internet, to suddenly six wins in a row and potentially going into Washington. And if they win game three, wow. That would be amazing, but I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Do you have anything left for Jam's junk drawer?
Oh yeah!
Hell yeah! I know you. All right, let's go.
All right, first pregame. Did you see IT's son at the podium
and him taking
fake questions?
Amazing.
Probably the most adorable thing. If you guys didn't see it, Tom Westerholm of MassLive.com, Jay King's colleague, had an amazing video. Isaiah asked his son what he was going to do to stop John Wall, and his son said, just get some fast shoes.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant answer.
Yeah. Awesome.
Kelly Olynyk with that missed dunk was, retrospect, phenomenal. Just like classic Kelly Olynyk. The amount of like angry texts I got from my brother tonight about Kelly Olynyk either missing that dunk, the bounce lying to us, or when he got a charge called on him, and my brother was just furious about how many times Kelly Olynyk just like put the ball on the floor and how he should never do it again, and then immediately came down and knocked down two threes. But just that missed dunk was fantastic.
As was his dance. I don't know if you saw my tweet. But his dance after that Isaiah, that crazy Isaiah where Morris fouled out and Isaiah had the ball knocked out of his hand and then he got it and he kind of line-drived it in. Did you see the Olynyk dance after that?
Oh, yeah. It was a great improvisation because he definitely did not plan that little ditty he did.
Oh, just wanted to throw that out there as part of it. Go ahead. Continue with the junk drawer.
All right, for some weird reason in the second quarter, there was during some free throws, there was an odd close-up of Tyler Zeller, and it was just him chewing on his fingernails, and I was watching that part at a bar at the point, so I couldn't hear if they were talking about Zeller, but it was just weird to see like 4 or 5 seconds of Zeller's face, and I didn't know he was a fingernail chewer. I wouldn't expect that with his super soft hands. let's see. Porter had that arm injury, right? And then the next time play stopped, next time he got fouled or he got hit, I saw he was hurt, and I was so quick to tell my friends, oh, look at Porter again. He's a baby. He's faking an injury. And immediately when I said that, you just saw blood just gush from his face. So I felt like a real solid guy after doing that. Jared Sullinger tweeted at Jay King during the game. It's just amusing to me. He had after another missed dunk, and Jay said some snarky comment about it. And Sully tweeted at Jay King, you must have missed it when Jay like gave the rim the business or something. It was just an awkward tweet from Sully, but I like that he's just watching and following Jay King on Twitter. Just he's celebrities. They're just like us.
I did not see that, but as you continue, I'm going to look for it.
All right. Then other things just down late in overtime, some big plays that we haven't even mentioned yet was the Marcus Smart offensive rebound that eventually got Gortat to foul out of the game. I thought was huge. And then Avery Bradley just completely stealing the ball from John Wall and going in for that dunk was an amazing play in fourth in the overtime. And it was just classic Avery Bradley, and shows you why he was kind of voted first team all defense. And then the final thing, after the game in the press conference, Mark D'Amico was asking Isaiah Thomas about that play where he fell down and smashed his teeth. But just the way he phrased his question, so he's like, how did it feel when you smashed your face on the ground? And you could see Isaiah just kind of like laugh at him and like smirk a little bit because he fumbled about getting the question. But I really like the idea of asking someone how it felt to smash their face into the ground.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Perfect.
Yeah. How did it feel when your face forcefully hit the hardwood at an accelerating rate? Yeah. Okay. I did see the tweet exchange. Jay King said the Celtics are like 0-for-45 on dunks tonight. And I think this was after the Olynyk. And then Sullinger said, must have forgot Jay caught a body in the first half. And then Jay responded, and the Horford alley-oop, let me exaggerate shit over here, my man. LOL. And then Sully said, not on my watch. And then three eye emojis. So
that's some good stuff.
The one thing I want to add to the junk drawer, if I may.
Oh, go ahead, sir.
The Marcus Smart drive to the basket early in the game where he went behind his back, other side of the rim, up and under, and like kind of spun it in, was the most graceful, beautiful thing I've ever seen Marcus Smart do on offense ever.
Yeah, that was shocking. I don't think I've ever seen him hit a reverse layup. So to see him do it after a behind the back dribbling move is absurd.
Yeah, that was a good time. All right.
Hold on. I got two more things I just found.
Oh, okay.
I had handwritten notes tonight. Clay Thompson being the spokesperson for chocolate milk is hilarious. I don't know why, but I just think that's really funny because Clay feels like a real simple guy to me, and chocolate milk feels like a kind of a simple beverage. Then what is a hip pointer? I asked this on Twitter, and I had like 37 responses, and everyone had like all these answers about what a hip pointer was. It kind of just sounds like a bruised hip, but this is really the first time I've ever heard that phrase.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the Charlie horse when you like get like a deep thigh bruise type of thing. You know, when you take a knee to the thigh and it kind of cramps up on you. I think the hip pointer is something like that, where you get hit on the hip and it just kind of causes some cramping on the hip, and that might actually kind of constrict some nerves in there. So it's something along those lines where it like immediately balls up and you have to kind of like stretch it out and work it out. So it's not like serious, but it's really, really, really annoying.
Well, shout out to Avery Bradley for coming back from a really, really, really annoying injury, because he was,
yeah,
he was great down the stretch, but I'd never heard the phrase hip pointer before. And I was confused.
Yeah, it's you know, you fall on your hip, or you get hit on your hip. Like I said, anybody that's played, you take a knee, like, you know, when you're driving, you take a knee like to the middle of your quad, and it just immediately it balls up and cramps up, like that type of thing. It's just kind of like on your hip. It because of the joint there, just kind of adds to the discomfort. So, yeah, that's basically it. That's basically
all right.
It.
Well, that's it for the junk drawer. My handwritten notes written at a bar. People were looking at me weird. I looked like a.
Tell me you were writing them on cocktail napkins.
No. I didn't look like that much of like a beat poet, but like I still was getting some strange looks from people at the bar when I was like cheering along and taking notes in my reporter's notebook.
That's actually really, really hilarious. And we appreciate your effort being out at the bar and taking the notes. I basically my notes when I'm watching at a bar are the things that I tweet. I just go back through my Twitter and go like, oh yeah, I said that, and that's going to be basically my reminder to say that on a podcast or something. All right, so Celtics win game two, big win, and now hopefully they can go on to Washington Thursday night. And, man, that's a huge game. If they could win that game, man, wow, That would be an amazing turnaround. Celtics win 129-119 behind 53 points from Isaiah Thomas on an emotional day. I'm sure you've heard it a million times here, but I'll say it again. It would have been his sister China's 23rd birthday tonight on game night. She was killed just a day before the playoffs started. He went to her funeral and came back, and he delivered the eulogy, and he came back at 4 a.m. and he dropped 33 after that in game one. And then he did this after his teeth get knocked out. I mean, just amazing, an amazing mental performance. Just, I can't fathom how amazing Isaiah Thomas has been. I can't, there's no words to properly, I'm just saying the same words over and over again and hoping that each time I say them, the proper meaning is conveyed, or maybe I'm going to start to say a word and a new word will be formed in my mouth, but I can't, it's not happening. But so that was Isaiah Thomas's night. 29 points in the fourth quarter in OT to will the Celtics to a 10-point win in game two. We will be back with another podcast tomorrow, because that's what we do on a daily basis. And again, thank you for pushing us up the iTunes rankings. Keep rating us 5 stars. If you are new to the podcast, give us 5 stars. Give us that rating. Give us a quick review, a glowing review. Let people know when they see us on those rankings. This now makes it even more important, because when they see us, they need to know that, okay, you're up there. I'm going to click on this. I'm going to see what people say. And so we need those reviews now, and we really thank you for doing that. If you are not a subscriber, go ahead, subscribe. Get these podcasts to you. We record them the night before, so you're going to hear them early. If you're on the West Coast, if you're international, you get them right away. Make them part of your day. We're here Monday through Friday. We want to thank you again for listening to us. Thanks for that. Thanks for tuning in. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics, Millie.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.